We have one more person in the waiting room that's trying to join.
Okay. We'll wait on them then.
One more. It looks like there's an account for Erica Murphy also trying to join the meeting separately. Not sure if that's mom.
Yes, Erica Murphy is Riley's mother.
Let's talk to each of the ones that we do have here. Maybe we can get that clarified if we're
Okay,
checking our
perfect.
audio and getting them sworn in. Brad, please pronounce that last name for me.
Yes, sir. Schnauz.
And you are the.
Superintendent Grapevine Colleyville.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And then we have the Wormleys. Please identify yourselves again.
Can you hear us?
Yes, can now.
Thank you.
So we got mom.
Erica, yes, and Riley and Adrian.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Todd Raymond.
Yes, sir. Athletic Director, GCISD.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. Athletic Director for Northwest ISD.
And your role was district chair, I believe.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Thank you. Mr. Jordan?
Yes, sir. My name is Dudley Jordan. I'm an attorney. I represent Mr. Wormley, Ms. Murphy, and Riley.
Thank you. Mr. Kiesler?
Steve Kiesler, Executive Athletic Director at Carroll ISD. Good morning.
Good morning. Are there others, Caroline?
We are all set.
All right. I'm going to ask you, all of you, to make sure and be unmuted at this point, and to we're going to get you sworn in. Caroline's going to take care of that.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
All right. We do have a quorum present. We have an agenda before us. We'll be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution and Contest Rules. We're going to move forward with hearing AA. It's our only hearing of this morning. South Lake Carroll High School, consideration of SEC ruling and appeal to District 46A Executive Committee decision regarding the eligibility of a student athlete, Section 443, changing schools for athletic purposes. Mr. Beasley?
DEC 46A met on June 6, 2023, and ruled that Riley Wormley moved from Colleyville Heritage High School to South Lake Carroll High School for athletic purposes with a vote of 7-0. Items number 3 and 6 were checked yes on the PAPF, and items number 1, 5, 6, 7, and 8 were checked yes on the eligibility questionnaire. The State Executive Committee met on August 7, 2023, and ruled unanimously to uphold the decision of the DEC.
Okay. A few comments before we begin, and then I'll talk about the process that we're going to go through. Well, let's introduce ourselves as members of the committee. I'm Mike Motherell. I am a retired school superintendent. Mr. Wade.
Darrell Wade, retired athletic administrator.
Kennedy.
I'm Edna Kennedy. I'm the superintendent in Burton Independent School District.
Dr. Cavazos.
Art Cavazos, retired superintendent.
All right. This is the same panel of individuals who heard the initial hearing, okay, here at the SEC. Let me just say that it is extremely rare for us to conduct a second hearing. It requires legitimate new information and the decision to have that hearing falls to the chair. And after having read through all the information that was provided, the decision was reached that we should do that. Let's talk a little bit about how this all occurred, why we're here. After the June the 6th District Executive Committee meeting met, the family filed a grievance, if I understand it, with Grapevine Colleyville Heritage High School. And that's the final decisions on that were not reached in time for us to have any information from that grievance at the state executive committee hearing. Matter of fact, the results came about, I think, on the very same day that we had our hearing. So we didn't hear any of that information. Grapevine Colleyville said that they submitted the previous athletic participation form based on, and this is a result of their investigation into that grievance, based it on incomplete and inaccurate information. And Grapevine Colleyville has asked that the case be heard again. And so that's why we're here today. The fact that we're here is nothing but an opportunity for us to hear exactly what it is that has been discovered. We can review some of the previous information as needed, but I think our goal today is to learn what was discovered in the investigation that took place. So how we're going to handle that is very straightforward. We're going to start with the superintendent of schools at Grapevine Colleyville and ask him to walk us through the crucial issues. And the way I read his information was probably five different aspects that were considered. And then once that's done, if we have questions along the way or afterwards, we're going to ask those. We will give others an opportunity to be involved. Obviously, we want to talk to the family to see if they have any input and reaction to what has been said. We can talk to the folks at anyone else here that has pertinent information, we will get to them. Now, as far as the attorney that's here, just know that we're here to hear from those who are directly involved. There'll be a point in time at the end, if you need to, that you can make some comments. But for the most part, we're here to hear what is going to be said by the folks that were directly involved with this situation. All right, with that having been said, we're going to turn it over to Dr.
Schnauz. Yeah, first let me just say thank you to Mr. Motherall. Thank you to the committee for having us here this morning. And as you stated earlier, subsequent to that DEC decision, a level two grievance was filed by the Wormley family. And, through that process and through that investigation, we believe and new information does exist regarding Riley, regarding his situation. And really, I want to specifically speak to the academic piece, because I think that's what's really probably most important here in some of the issues that we've outlined in our letter. Through that level two investigation, we did find that new information did exist on the academic side, such as the student's academic progress. There was also correspondence with Riley's mother and our campus staff, which initially was not brought forth in the DEC hearing and that information. And then along with the information that we discovered with his 504 plan. 504 plan and just some things that weren't completed or followed to the degree that they should have been. And so for that reason alone, you know, is you know, we, a school people, a school leaders, that academic piece is paramount. And so we believe that we wanted, you know, as you mentioned, that level two information, you guys didn't feel like maybe you were best prepared during that initial hearing on the SEC side. And I know that I think it's probably accurate to say that the Wormley family didn't have that information. They felt like in a timely manner when they went into that SEC hearing too. And so really, that's why we're asking for this additional meeting, so that everybody could have the most accurate, most updated information to make the best informed and educated decision on this young man's eligibility.
All right. What we need from you, you've given us some information from your investigation, but let's talk through things. And if need be, I'll guide you through that. But let's talk about, you brought up the academic piece. You didn't get into much detail just a minute ago. Are you telling us that based on your investigation, it was discovered that there was more academic concerns than what were brought forth in both the district executive committee hearing and the state executive committee hearing?
I feel yes. I mean, I definitely on the district executive committee hearing, and again on that state executive committee hearing, I don't believe that the information was received as timely as it could have been in preparation for that hearing. I did, in looking at the information that we discovered in that investigation, level two investigation, there were we did find that there were progress reports, you know, throughout Riley's ninth and 10th grade years where he was below that 70 passing mark. There were visits to the counselor, numerous visits to the counselor regarding academic concerns for Riley. And also too, you know, there were correspondence requests and even communication between Riley's mother and the counselor regarding his academic progress and concerns around, you know, helping him get to a better state on the academic side. I don't believe there were concerns about his English class. Mom did request, I believe, that Riley had some, would have some assistance or resources available for course selection for one of the, as I believe it was in preparation for this upcoming school year, 23-24, early last spring. You know, we found that maybe that the correspondence, the responses on our end weren't as timely as maybe they could have been, you know, in responding back in a timely manner. And really, again, that 504, you know, not having that 504 review, that annual review, I felt like, you know, was a critical piece and should have happened on our end, Mr. Motherall.
Okay. On the academic piece, are there any questions coming from committee members this time? All right. Dr. Cavazos?
Good morning, everyone. I do have a couple of questions just for clarity purposes. How many levels of grievances exist at your district?
Yes, sir. Dr. Cavazos, three levels. So this was a level two, and that's where, you know, through this investigation, that level two process, that's where we found this existing information.
And who was a level two hearing officer?
That'd be Dr. Sheila Shiver. She is our chief academic officer here in GCISD.
Okay, and having this new information, what would have changed in the completion of the form?
You know, I certainly think it certainly invites, you know, you to consider other avenues. Possibly one could take this information and see that there were academic concerns brought forth by the family, and that that was a viable reason or viable reasons to consider other options.
And I guess my other question is, the person who heard the level two, am I to understand that that level two was in motion when the family came to our committee to reverse the decision of the DEC?
It was, I think, at the tail end, Dr. Cavazos, it was wrapping up. And so I believe it's my understanding that we released that report or the findings the day of the hearing, maybe. I think that's correct. And so, again, one can state that, hey, we would have liked this information, you know, a few days in advance of that SEC hearing. And so I would say that at the tail end, to be fair to the Wormley family, in preparation for that hearing with you guys.
Okay. I just don't recall that part of the conversation surfacing at the hearing, that there was a grievance in motion or that we were a few hours away from getting the result. And, you know, my memory, I may be missing something, but I'm sure we'll hear that later on in the conversation. Thank you for those responses.
Okay, you're welcome.
I have one more question relating to this. The information that we received, there's a statement that says, accordingly, the previous misinformed belief that Riley had no academic issues at CHHS cannot form the basis of a yes answer to question six. Is that what you stand by today?
Yes, sir.
Say that again, please.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I would really, I need you to be very thorough in this discussion and making sure that you've said everything that you need to say about the academic piece. What you're saying, what I hear, what I read more so than what I've heard today, is that there were many more problems academically than we were led to believe as a committee. And that based upon the fact that once that you went back and did your investigation, you found that there were several other problems academically for this young man, which would support the idea that a change for academic purposes might be one that needs to be considered. Is that correct?
That is correct. I want to, you said in that first part, the many more piece, the fact that we have instances in here where, you know, there were gaps, you know, in not having that information on the initial side, on the DEC side, certainly, you know, there are documented instances where, you know, Riley was struggling, and initially, and again, the family, the mother, you know, was working to partner with the campus staff to, to get a plan in place for him to get those academic marks up. I think all of that warrants another look at, you know, his eligibility. And yes, I think I guess my answer to your question is yes. There at the end. This does warrant, you know, I could see that the academic piece being certainly considered in his eligibility status.
Okay. All right. I have a we're going to move away from the academic piece, although I think Dr. Cavazos brought a good point too that we probably need to get back to before we move on, and that is the fact that at the last hearing, we didn't know anything about a grievance. Is there a reason for that? What's the circumstance there? Was it something that was unknown by the people who were representing you at the time?
On the level two grievance, Mr. Mutterall?
Yes, sir.
At the time, we were at the end of our timeline to respond back on the level two side to stay within, you know, policy and whatnot. I don't know. I'm sorry, I can't speak to if you guys were aware of that.
We were not aware of it. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, so yes, that level two was filed. And that's where this transpired.
Okay. Dr. Harrison, you had something to say.
Just to refresh everyone's memory, the letter you've been referring to today is a different letter. It came subsequent to the hearing. However, the committee did receive the level two investigative report of findings. Mm. And you received it half hour to an hour before the hearing started.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not sure that you had a chance to go through it, but you did receive it just before the hearing started, just to refresh everyone's memory.
Thank you for that clarity. We do appreciate it. Okay. Moving away from the academic piece, there was a part in here about the conversation that took place with an assistant principal, I believe it was, if my memory serves me correct.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Can you describe for us at this point what y'all's findings were on that, please?
Well, what we found was that it was kind of hearsay, I guess, or there was nothing that really could be substantiated, Mr. Mutterall. So nothing, I guess, a fact, sir, from that conversation, that was, I guess, had between Mr. Raymond, our athletic director, and Ms. Torres, and kind of, you know, after visiting with, or not, I didn't visit with her, but there, we had another staff member, the principal of the middle school, who was there at the time. And really, after getting the stories from the separate parties, again, nothing can really be substantiated on getting clarity around that.
Okay. Any questions on that issue from committee members?
So, Mr. Chair, just again, I appreciate Dr. Harrison's, you know, input. Who completed the form from the district?
Coach Edwards, Coach Jerry Edwards. He's the head football coach and campus coordinator at Colleyville Heritage High School.
Okay. And was he at the last hearing, and did he have absolutely no knowledge that there was a parallel grievance in motion, that he would not lift that at our committee meeting and say, by the way, I need to take a pause here because there is a parallel grievance in motion in my district? I guess, Brad, what I'm looking at is, it's almost like two systems working totally independent of each other. And as a committee, we are taking the word of who's present at the time. And so I would have thought that if there was so much emphasis on this grievance, that at minimum, the chief academic officer would have appeared at our committee and said, while you all are hearing this, let me tell you, this is in motion, you know, something like that. I guess is where I, you know, there's an opportunity there as a superintendent to go back and kind of look at, well, what are our processes here? If I have my district represented at a state level committee and they are telling this story, well, a factual story, but I have another part of my organization that's unpacking it even further. You know, I guess that's where I'm a little, you know, concerned, I guess, if I would put it out there, that here we are sitting at another hearing, but had there been an intersection at the district, maybe, you know, there would have, I mean, maybe the parents would have said, can we pause and postpone this hearing to the next available time? You know, I don't know. I'm just saying that's my biggest concern right now of what I'm hearing today. So, but Mr. Chair, I'll pass the floor.
Okay. Well, and what Dr. Harrison told us earlier helps me just a little bit in that I do remember us getting some late breaking information on that hearing or prior to the SEC hearing. And I did have the opportunity to view that. And I think everybody did. I guess I just hadn't put together that was a result of the grievance, but that's my misunderstanding, I'm assuming. Okay. All right, we're gonna go from a different point here. Let's look at the main issues of this of the hearing that we held the first time. One was that Riley quit the track team. For me, and I'll just speak very, very plainly, for me that meant nothing, because we understood from the beginning that the reason that he didn't finish his track season was because he left. All right, so that one had very little to offer me personally. The next one was had to do with Dad's employment. And that one, when we left the hearing last time, that one had some merit to it at the time, that he was not an employee of, in this case, South Lake Carroll High School. But what's come back to us now is that in the information that we've received is that he's considered a out of district employee or something along those lines. Dad, is that the appropriate term?
I believe it's non-resident.
Yeah, non-resident. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Employee of South Lake Carroll High School. So that clears that issue a little bit, at least in my opinion. We also had the issue of, and I apologize, I'm looking around here. The fact that the timing of this transfer coincided with a new decision that was reached by the South Lake Carroll High School or South Lake Carroll Independent School District about resource officers being able to transfer in. Do we remember that conversation? And no doubt that the timing was as described. The academic issues we've already discussed. And the information that I received showed, as the superintendent has visited with us about, showed a considerable amount of additional information that there were academic issues that did exist. I think the other important piece for me, the academic piece, was important. And then this conversation that was held That's the one that had some merit for me in the initial hearing. I'll just say that. And what we're hearing here, that there was a casual conversation and included talking about a potential new CHHS coach, the excitement for the upcoming season, and that there were rumors about players that they were losing. Riley's name was one of those potentially. I think we had some of that information at our last hearing, but it's spelled out a little better for us now. Dr. Snouts, what else would you tell us today? And I'm going to ask you very directly now. You had some people who checked off that this was a change for athletic purposes, okay? And that, if I'm not mistaken, well, that he quit the sport. That's a non-issue, at least for me. But that he changed schools for athletic purposes. Are you telling us today that you do not believe that it was a change for athletic purposes, or that your school district does not believe that?
Yes, I'm saying that with this new information, that it certainly validates academic concerns, and I don't believe that we can truly say that he's transferring for athletic reasons.
Okay. All right. Now, is there anyone else from your district who you want to speak, sir?
At this time, Todd Raymond's on this meeting, but no, sir.
Todd, do you have anything? All right. He's shaking.
No, sir, I do not. I'm sorry. Here you go. I'm muting myself.
Okay. Thank you. What about, I mentioned the attorneys. We typically don't want to hear from anyone but those directly involved. Is there any clarification that you want to make, sir?
Mr. Chair, I want to interrupt. Mr. Jordan didn't raise his hand when we were swearing him. All the committees.
This is not a court of law, so you do have to be sworn in, sir.
Okay, I'll do it now. I didn't know if that was appropriate for me as an attorney.
I'm sorry. We should have told you that. Go ahead.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Very succinctly here. Anything you need to add?
The only thing I would like to add, sir, is that we are very appreciative of the SEC for their willingness to look at this new information. And we're also very appreciative of GCISD for providing us with the information. And we attribute no ill will to anyone in the process. We think everyone was trying to do their job. And I think we have the information largely through the efforts of GCISD and Superintendent Schnouts and Mr. Raymond and their staff. So we do appreciate that.
Thank you. All right. Any questions for Dr. Schnouts? Any additional information? All right, for parents and for Adrian, anything you folks want to say?
Nothing from us, sir.
Okay.
But we do want to thank everyone for, you know, the whole participation and getting everything correct.
Riley, you doing okay these days?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good.
All right. Thanks. School going well for you?
Yes, sir. I got A's and B's right now.
All right. Stay after it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
What grade are you in?
11th grade.
All right. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Committee members, any comments at this point?
I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I want to thank, and I don't want to mispronounce your name, Doc. I want to thank the superintendent for his work and his thorough review of this. This is not an easy situation to bring this to a state level committee who has already made a decision. It went to the DEC. The DEC reviewed everything. They voted. We reviewed it. We voted. And now it's being brought back for a relook at the request of the school district. When the superintendent was asked whether that form would be different today based on the findings, I appreciate his stance and his review of the whole situation. What we didn't have a chance to ask is whether the athletic coordinator would think it would be different based on this new information. I'm going to assume that the superintendent has had a conversation with the athletic coordinator about these findings. I raised a concern that in a high school, we have an athletic coordinator that's completing a form that really informs the path of a student moving forward, and how an athletic coordinator could complete a form and not have knowledge of all this new information that someone from central office uncovered, and that at the campus, there was no known that it would, I guess, rise to the level where there would be a pause to complete that form. And so I bring that to light because I think as superintendents, we take these things very seriously, because while this is really an exception, as our chair indicated, I would be very concerned if it becomes a pattern. And if we see this kind of behavior again from that school district. And so I appreciate that the superintendent has weighed in and has leaned into this issue, because this is something that is very rare that a superintendent comes to us and says, let me pause and let me speak on behalf of the school district here. And so I want to thank you, because that's not an easy task for any superintendent to come forward and say, whoa, you know, at a state level. And so I appreciate, Doc, that you did that. And I want to believe that you're a champion for all kids, and all your staff is a champion for all kids. But we would be remiss if we didn't point out the fact that there's a lot of missed opportunities here in systems that I know, and I'm confident that as superintendents, we go back and we really study our systems so that this not, you know, repeat itself. Now, I'm making some assumptions that you spoke to your AC and your AC would say the same thing, and I'm making some assumptions. But I also lean on the fact that you represent your school district and you have a responsibility to do the right thing every day. And so I take you at your word, and I know that these are circumstances that, in fact, to me, raise pause, because that's me as an individual committee member, because we take our responsibility very seriously as well. And so thank you for what you do, and thank your staff as well. But I cannot just let it go without saying there's a lot of opportunities here to really study how the systems work, especially at that high school. You know, I'm not going to make an assumption, a broad assumption, but thank you for what you do, and thank you for being here with us today, Doc.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Cavazos. Can I respond, comment to that,
please?
And certainly, Dr. Cavazos, I appreciate your words, and I know that you have sat in the seat for a long time, and I look up to you. And so let me say this, that through every every opportunity, every situation, every, you know, crisis, you're always in reflection mode. And how do we debrief? How do we learn? How do we get tighter and get better? And so, yes, we've done that. And to your question about our AD, you know, he's here. He's here because we're aligned. We've had so many conversations through this. Okay. More than we probably both would like to say, but, you know, we're here because, as you mentioned, we're champion for kids, you know, and, you know, I want to go back to Coach Edwards. Coach Edwards was only on the job for, I think, two or three weeks when this situation was presented. Okay. And so upon completion of that form, he filled it out to the best of his ability with the information that he had on hand. The principal of that school last year in during this situation is no longer the principal of Caldwell Heritage High School. She has since moved on to another district. And so that created some challenges. And as far as getting the information and conducting an investigation, you know, that we had to conduct, and we did it in a thorough manner. I want to commend Dr. Sheila Shiver for her work. And Dr. Cavazos, you know this, that, you know, it's never easy to come back and say, hey, here's what we found and here's how this could be different or what we might change. But again, because we are champions for kids and because it is right for children, that's what we're called to do. And that's why we asked the SEC, you know, to come back and relook at this case again. You know, I don't know Riley that well. I've seen him play quite a few times on Friday nights, and he's very talented. I've seen him during practice, and you learn a lot from student athletes or students in practice. And he is a young man of character. He is very talented, and you know, we want the best for Riley, for his family. And we want the best for all of our students, and that's why we're here. And so, you know, I thank you for sharing that. And we're continuing to evaluate all of our systems, you know, not only in dealing with, you know, athletic situations, but just across the board. But I just want to hopefully provide some clarity around, you know, this was somewhat of an extenuating circumstance for us. With some moving parts on the people, the coach coming in, and then the principal going out, and then too, you know, going into summer when everybody kind of gets off contract and goes away, and that can be like herding cats for a minute as well. So again, thank you, sir.
All right. Anyone else have anything they want to say before we make a decision? Staff, anything? Members, I didn't ask DEC chair, but I didn't figure he wanted to weigh in. Okay. He gave me the thumbs up on that. All right. It's time to make a decision. These are always difficult. You know, every time we have a hearing, our goal is to be accurate in what we do. And with the information that we initially had, we felt good about it. We have some additional information now. I think the biggest thing that I see here is a school district, the sending district, that has changed their mind. They're the ones that created this situation as far as taking it to the DEC because it was a change for athletic purposes. So we're at a point now. I think we've heard all the information we need to hear. It's time to determine whether we grant the appeal and overturn the ruling by the district executive committee, which would declare Riley Wormley eligible for varsity athletics at South Lake Carroll High School, or to deny the appeal. Any comment or question by members before we move forward?
Mr. Chair, just a point of clarity. Are we voting to overturn our last decision or that of the DEC, or it's one in?
It's one in the same.
Okay.
It's one in the same. Okay. All in favor of granting the appeal, please raise your right hand. Granting the appeal, that please raise your right hand. Okay. That's unanimous. All right, young man, good luck to you. We appreciate everyone who's been involved in this. It was a very difficult situation. Good luck.
Mr. Chair, okay. I just want to offer our thanks. Several UIL staff members, including those on the Zoom today, have been a part of this. And, you know, this is as Dr. Schnautz mentioned, it's a very unique case where you had a brand new coach, you had a principal who went outgoing, you had a summer break. There were a number of challenges in this case that don't exist in most. Appreciate the district coming forth with, you know, the additional information. I genuinely believe the coach, Todd Raymond, did a great job. They did everything they could based on the information they had at the time. This investigation produced new information. Dr. Schnautz showed leadership. I also want to say thanks to Steve Kiesler for, you know, being patient and letting the process work. So thank you to all of you for your participation throughout this entire process.
And I want to say thanks to our district executive committee. Mr. Johnson, take that back to your group. It's always difficult when a decision is overturned, but based on the information that you had, you folks did the right thing. Okay. Make sure they understand that.
Yes, sir. Will do. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Mr. Chair, just to say, generally speaking, we do not, as you mentioned at the very beginning, have rehearings. So this is unusual. But it was because of the work of the superintendent and all those that Dr. Harrison has mentioned that were very thorough in their investigation and this second time around. I echo what you said, Mr. Chair, to the DEC. They did their job with the information that they had in hand. So we're not second guessing ourselves. We have new information. We used it. That shows the process works.
Very good. All right. We're going to remove those folks from the feed at this time. Thank y'all for your involvement. Let's see. Do we have any new business?
Mr. Chair, not from my position. Dr. Harrison, I don't know of anything else that we have. It's been a busy fall. We're coming up on October. And you know what happens? We'll have the district certification for volleyball and football. And so those 11th hour reports and allegations will start appearing. So we'll have more of these meetings, I'm afraid.
Well, it's always, yes, sir, Mr. Wade.
I did want to, you know, mention what I'm about to mention during the actual call. I have no problem with it still being recorded, but I think I kind of 100% agree with Dr. Cavazos of what he was saying, but I do know in large school districts, there's a lot of people, I think, to get to the superintendent to that point. And I think, you know, we may need to maybe look at some of our processes. As I've always believed that I'm probably on this board because of my work in HISD, which was kind of a tangled web to get, you know, up to where it needed to be to find out all the information needed. I know a lot of times, you know, especially in HISD, and I hate to call them by name, but, you know, someone would sign the PAPF. It may not have been the coach. It may not have went to the coach. It may have been the principal signed it and things like that. And I guess my issue is I just think that, you know, we have to, for example, a few weeks ago, we had a coach that signed a PAPF that hadn't been hired, was hired 2 months after PAPF was done, after the child transferred, but he, of course, put on there and moved athletic reasons based on, you know, I guess, hearsay. So I think we have to, especially in larger school districts, you know, where, you know, I've heard someone talk about an onion this morning, you start peeling back the onion type thing. So I just feel like that's something we have to always consider, not knowing everything as we've kind of found out today.
And I totally agree with that. And I appreciate that. I wondered as we're hearing this, Mr. Chair, whether that form needed some kind of an indication on the form. How long have you been in your position when you filled it out? You know, something that would inform us. And, you know, when he said that the coach was new and the principal was on the way out, but the AD was constant. And yes. So what is the role of the AD, you know, at that point, and should they have to sign off as well? You know, that it's a great opportunity to your point, that we really, is there an opportunity for us to change as well? Because this also informs practice moving forward, and it should inform for us as well. So, and I want to thank Charles for being on the call. Although Dr. Harrison has been, really representing you well, Doc, but thank you for being on the call as well.
Good to see you too.
Well, we are a work in progress. We appreciate UIL and the fact that it's made up of superintendents and all those rules and regulations. We'll always, I know that the staff and Ledge Council will continue to look at all those kind of issues, but we appreciate everyone involved here today. Very difficult. Thanks to the staff, as always. And as we said earlier, we'll see you soon, no doubt.
Yes.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
See you in the playoffs, too.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Go Stros!